This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Every morning, you can wait to the most popular music ever recorded. Music, your life, right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show, a little Beatles for you. I am indeed Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy and partner, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. It is Monday, November the 14th, and I am back like a bad penny. I was gone for the last week, and delighted to be so, in Palm Springs, California, with my family, a couple of my sisters, my daughter, some friends. We had a great time, and I'm glad to be back. In the meantime, there is so much going on. Of course, the November elections have come and gone while I was gone. We are going to be talking a lot about that. And in fact, in a few minutes, Neville Kramer is going to join us. He is an author. He's a security consultant. He did a lot of work on the Mexican border, and we are going to talk to him about what it is, what is to become of the Mexican border. Now that the election is over, is anything going to change at all? So stay tuned for that, just a few minutes. And Republicans may feel a bit downcast, maybe, about last Tuesday. They didn't hit a home run, did they? Wasn't a grand slammer, but maybe it was a single or a double. We're going to take a look at all of that. And we're also going to look at the conservative Republican governors and how well they did. All the top conservative governors were easily reelected. We're going to go down the list. So stay tuned for that as well. And here's the deal. Donald Trump, he's going to likely announce tomorrow that he will again be running for president. But is he a help or a hindrance to the Republican Party? We are going to take a look at it. We are going to discuss it. Stay tuned for that a little bit later in the show. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 states, according to Forbes magazine, with the best public schools. Let's see if your state is among them. So stay tuned for that towards the end of the show. And anyway, here we are. Ed, I'm glad to be back. I'm sure you missed me. I saw tears of joy as I walked in the studio here, so I'm very appreciative of that. Were you a good boy while I was gone?
I was. Sorry there was no cake when you came back.
Yeah.
You always have to have cake.
Yeah, either that or a breakfast roll. Yeah. That's the least we could have had.
Something.
But anyway, it's good to be back. We had a great weather. Delightful time. You know, it was like, this is Palm Springs, California. That's right smack in the desert.
Oh, see, I thought you were in West Palm Beach.
Palm Springs, California.
No wonder. Well, it didn't make sense for me to ask you, did you get any hurricane damage down there?
Oh, that's right. No. The only thing, I'll tell you what we could get. Did you know that the San Andreas Fault runs right through the Palm Springs area?
Yeah.
Take a look on the map.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Palm Springs is east. It's more centrally located in Florida. And it's not hard to get from there to Phoenix and the like. It's also not hard to get to San Diego or Los Angeles. That's where it is.
Do you need tremors when you were there?
I got tremors when I got on the plane before I was there. No tremors.
Never been in an earthquake.
You know, I was on a plane in San Francisco ready to take off. When they stopped the plane and put it back at the gate because there was a mild earthquake and they had to check the runway for cracks.
That was like that movie Earthquake.
Yeah.
When the plane had to hurry up and take off.
That was years ago. Yeah, right. Exactly right. Wasn't quite that exciting.
Mm.
Anyway, Great to be back. We got a lot to talk about. I guess Biden is over there. I hope he doesn't screw things up. He's with the president of China. He is saying that he does not think there's an imminent attempt from China to attack Taiwan. He told reporters following his meeting today with Xi that he does not think there's any anything going on right away with that. You know, he claims that he is somehow he is the one politician that has spent more time with Xi than anybody else. First of all, I don't buy that. I don't buy that. Well, this is the first time he's met with Xi, I think, since he's become president. I may be wrong on that, but I don't think he met with him before this.
Well, they're good friends because of his son's relationship with China.
Well, yes, I understand that, but he didn't need to be over
there. Does business with him.
He says, I absolutely believe there's not to be a new Cold War. There need not be a new Cold War. He said, I've met many times with Xi, and we were candid and clear with one another across the board. Listen, Xi isn't going to tell you anything, right. President Biden. So don't think you're getting anywhere with him. Now, the one thing I will give Biden credit for is he stumbled into saying, even though he's probably trying to take it back from time to time, he stumbled into saying that the United States would defend Taiwan if attacked. Hmm. Now, maybe Xi would be a little bit reticent to attack Taiwan under those conditions. I hope he would, you know, continue to be a little bit more forceful. I think he was over in Cambodia, was he not, the other day? He kept referring to how glad he was to be in Colombia.
Well, Taiwan were attacked, wouldn't NATO have to step in? Or is it just the United States?
Well, this is
our agreement with
this
them?
This is not Europe now. See, we're talking about Taiwan. Now, NATO has to do with the North Atlantic Treaty Organization.
Oh, okay,
so
okay.
That's Russia and Europe involved in a conflict. You know, that's what that's all about. But here we've got Korea, you know, South Korea, mm-hmm. worried about it. We got Japan worried about it.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got all of that going on. So we're kind of, you know, we've got Japan on our side. We got South Korea. We've got some other countries that would be concerned and would also probably be involved had something like this, if something like this occurred. So.
And then you got North Korea looking for attention.
North Korea's always looking for attention.
Don't forget about me.
Yeah, exactly. So you got a lot of that going on. We've got the whole thing with the Ukraine going on. So our eyes are sort of diverted back and forth between, right now, the two biggest tension things are the Ukraine and Taiwan. It looks like the Ukraine, surprisingly, is winning that war. The Russians are pulling out. See, here's the thing. We are learning once again that when you are not fighting on your own home front, you just don't have the same intensity of winning as you do when you are protecting your own.
They're still licking their wounds from that Afghanistan thing in the 80s. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
How long that took?
Oh, yeah.
And they achieved nothing.
They did not. And we didn't achieve much more when we were in Afghanistan. Afghanistan is a tough nut to crack. Very, very tough nut to crack. All right. We are going to take our break. When we come back, Neville Kramer is going to join us. We're going to talk about what is to become of the Mexican border now that the elections are over.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I gave a girl. Hey, we are back on a Monday, and I am back. Oh, yes, and we're delighted to be back. And the elections are over with. I know I was watching it with my conservative two sisters. The election results while I was out there on Tuesday. And they kept saying, at least one of them kept saying, that she was convinced that there was a little hanky-panky going on with the voting. She was very disappointed that more people, especially on the Senate side, were not, you know, winning some of those elections. As it turns out, of course, the Senate will stay in the Democratic side of the aisle only because even if Herschel Walker in this runoff election in Georgia, right, even if he wins as a Republican, they still have, that would be 50-50, mm-hmm, and Kamala, our vice president, would vote with the Democrats.
You know, I wasn't expecting, I know they were talking about the big, you know, the red wave. I wasn't expecting it because I don't think you can change that many people's minds or have those people see the light of what's really going on. It takes longer than the time we have. Maybe in the next election, but I just don't think it was enough time, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. I just thought that the economy and the lack of products on the shelf and the cost of gasoline.
But you got to remember, politicians are good at what they do, lying and telling you what you want to hear. Like in New York, those people put the same, except on Long Island, a lot of the House for New York has been changed to Republican, but they put the mayor, right, I mean the governor, right back in.
Yeah,
you know,
we may be talking about that a little later.
You got to remember, politicians are good at what they do. Let me say, most of them,
yeah,
are liars. Most of them, you have to be a pretty good liar to be. I'm sorry, you do.
Yeah, I agree. Well, it is time to concentrate now on the things that we have to continue to remedy, I guess is the word. And we're delighted to have with us Neville Kramer. Neville is a security consultant. He's an author, has a great book called Immigration Chaos. Good friend. We've had him on many times, and we're going to talk with him about what is to become of the Mexican border now that the elections are over. Neville, welcome back as always.
Paul, great to be back. And great. Can you hear me?
I can hear you very well. I hope you can hear us.
Well, I've got some feedback here, but it's okay.
Is it all right?
Great to have you back, Paul, and nice to speak with you, Ed. It's obviously an awful lot going on, but I would like to just pipe in for a second or two about what you were talking about with the elections.
Sure.
I think the biggest mistake that was made by the Republicans was is that they kept shoving the Roe versus Wade decision down the public's throat. And I think the best thing they could have done would be to shut up about it until after the election, but they didn't. And the middle class suburban woman did not give way to the inflation, et cetera. And that's one of the things, one of the reasons they lost. The second is what you were talking about was the fraud. I know an awful lot about fraudulent voting when it came to how immigrants, how illegal immigrants get driver's licenses and register to vote, etc. But I can tell you right now, all you have to think about is one thing when you talk about voting fraud. Think about the fact of what happens when a mail-in ballot is sent out to a residence and the person that lived in that residence and registered to vote a year or two before that doesn't live there anymore. What happens to that ballot? Does anybody know? Has anybody asked that question? Well, the answer is simple. In most of the states, it goes off into Never Never Land. And Never Never Land is where these harvesters reside. And they wait. And they gather those ballots. And if they need them, they use them. and in many cases, it's the unions that are involved. And that's why, when it comes to the day before the election, that 17,000 votes just happened to appear at the ballot, you know, at the voting place, and they get counted 2 or 3 days later, and all of a sudden, the person who was behind by 10,000 is now winning by 7,000. That's how that works. It's been going on since the Kennedy era, and they've never put a stop to it.
Well, that's a very pessimistic and sad look at what is going on, and I'm afraid that you may be right. They came upon the mail-in balloting, except for a few states, like, of course, Florida, that had been doing it before the epidemic. The epidemic provided a lot of states with the opportunity, and some might say the excuse, of going into the mail-in balloting. Now, Neville, are any of these states, to your knowledge, that have just taken on mail-in balloting because of the COVID-19, are they planning to go back to strictly precinct voting, let's say, in 2 years?
I would imagine that because of the results of this, that they will be. Each state will have to make its own decision. Florida does an excellent job, by the way. Florida, I'm pretty proud to live in Florida, and I think that DeSantis and the Secretaries of State have done a great job. But it's state by state. I think that they're going to have to go back to where the voting places are open for 2 or 3 days. But for right now, no. The mail-in ballot system is there to stay. The Democrats love it. And if they're in charge of the state, they're not going to get rid of it.
I mean, I tell you, all of a sudden, we have a lot of people, rightly or wrongly, criticizing our entire election process. How can we as a country continue to stand if we are not sure that the people we are supposed to be putting into places of power are truly voted in legitimately? It, to me, is it's almost kind of like a civil war going on here when it comes to the integrity of our election process.
Well, I'm not going to pick on the Democrats, but they do one thing better than anyone else, is that they accuse people of doing things, the Republicans for doing things, and then they turn around and do exactly the same thing. And they do it better than the Republicans. So the comment was that we're having a war on democracy. Remember that in the last few months?
Right.
A war on democracy. And the Republicans are having, et cetera, the war on democracy. It came up 500 times. The ones that are having a war on democracy are the Democrats. They're killing it. And the best way to do it is with elections and election fraud. So this is just, you know, just something that they're very good at, and they're not going to stop. That's how they're gaining the power in this country. So it's just a fact.
Yeah,
and Ed's right. I mean, they lie about it, and they love lying about it.
Wow. We're talking with Neville Kramer. He is a security consultant. He has been involved in border work over the years. He's an author of a book, great book, called Immigration Chaos. So, Neville, the elections are over with. Now we turn our attention, among other things, back to the border issue. And I guess Mayorkas, Department of Homeland Security, got rid of one of his underlings. I'm telling you, I don't know why he got rid of anybody. He should get rid of himself for the way the porous border is operating. But are we going to let's assume, Neville, that Republicans eke out the House, have a majority in the House. They're probably going to call for some hearings, and they're going to rattle the drum about the southern border, I would suspect. But in all likelihood, do you think anything is going to change at all?
Well, it better change on the southern border. This is going to begin to impact this country in more ways than one. It's not just the southern border. You know about the drugs, etc. But the whole immigration system was before this whole border thing started in a state of collapse, and this is just, you know, this failure is on steroids right now. So I mean, what's going on that border with Eagle Pass? I served in Eagle Pass in the U.S. Border Patrol. They're coming across there by the thousands every day.
Yeah.
It used to be thousands every month, but anyway, the problem though is and remember this, Paul, is that the system, the entire system, both abroad and in this country and at the border, is in a state of collapse. So you can't just fix the border. The issues they love to talk about are what I call bumper sticker solutions. You know, build the wall, citizenship for DACA, end catch and release. That's what you hear. But nobody's really ever coming up with how to really fix the border, how to really control the border, how to really fix the immigration system. And if you don't do that in one massive way, these little minor little fixes along the way are not going to stop the problem. That Southwest border is wide open. It has been. It is now. And as far as I can tell, it's going to stay that way for the next 15 or 20 years unless we have some massive manpower and technical assistance down there on that border.
Yeah. Now, you know, generations ago, nobody worried about people coming across because a lot of them would come across, do some labor work on the other side of the border here on our side, then go back to their homes in Mexico. And the rest of the world and, South America, Central America, those countries weren't shooting people, who are desperate at the time. They were not desperate to leave their country. But all of a sudden, we have all the civil wars and all of the problems that are going on with these, I guess you would say, it's especially these Central American countries. And people go, yeah, let's go to the United States. And one day, caravans started coming across. And I guess we were not even then, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, we were not prepared for it, or maybe we were. You know, the history of the desire to get into our country kind of has evolved, right?
Yes, absolutely. What's evolved is a collapse of our asylum system, because that's the way around the whole issue. Is if you can claim asylum and get into a system that's been overwhelmed, you're going to get to stay in the United States. They're going to have to give you a work permit. I believe it's after 120 days or something like that if your case is not adjudicated. So they know that's the way around it, and they've told the whole world that. We're getting people from about 130 or 140 different countries. So this isn't just Central and South America. And the asylum system, I even mentioned it in the book. The book is 15 years ago it came out, and I mentioned it in that it was in a state of collapse then. So
it's been ongoing, for a while.
Yeah, for many years.
Yeah. Now, I thought that this would be a big issue in the elections. I thought people would be so upset with all of these people walking in and with the fentanyl, which has affected so many people. I mean, hundreds of thousands of people in this country. I thought, if you forgot about the economy and other things, but just the border with all of those issues, it should turn the tide. And yet, it didn't seem to work. It doesn't seem to have. People that are not living on the border, for whatever reason, it seems to me, are not that excited or interested in the issue.
You know, when I'm 71, Paul, and I want to tell you that what I think has happened, and we don't realize it, is the same crowd that walks around this country looking at a cell phone and walks out in front of a car or gets into an elevator and looks at their cell phone and just stands there and is ignorant to everything around them is becoming the largest voting bloc in the United States. And if that's the way they're going to treat themselves, and that's the way they're going to treat the people around them and what's going on around them with this social media, the rest of it, this is what we're going to have to expect for the coming century. These people are so wired into technology and their cell phones that they don't understand what's going on around them. You talk about illegal immigration, and they think you're talking about a pack of cigarettes or something. They just don't know. I mean, they don't care.
You'd think that with all of the technology, which means we get more information, that they would be more informed, as opposed to. Without having these little things in their hands, they might not be devoting themselves to so much worldwide information. But of course, we know that it's not the information that you and I might be accessing, So maybe they're turning themselves off. Go ahead.
They're going to elect the girl who dances on TikTok for president. I mean, that's what they know. That's what they know about.
Well, maybe she's good. I haven't heard much about her. Hey,
pretty good looking.
Hey, let me ask you this in passing here. Tomorrow, Donald Trump is probably going to announce he's going to run again. And here in Florida, and you're over on the east coast of Florida, we've got Ron DeSantis kind of lurking in the background, you might say. Give me your thoughts on that. What do you think? Is Trump going to be able, let's assume he does announce. Do you think we got those two kind of battling it out in 2 years?
I hope not. Well, first of all, my opinion of Donald Trump is two. I have two opinions. I love the guy as far as the president was concerned and what he did as a president. I can't stand the guy as far as his bombastic methods and his yelling and his, you know, like I said, these bumper sticker solutions. But his bumper sticker solution of build the wall was a very popular thing. But there's one thing about Donald Trump that nobody counts, and that's the number of people that vote against him. You know, you can win elections because you've got a lot of people who vote for you. But this guy's got a huge number of people that vote against him. He could be running against Mickey Mouse or Hitler, and they would vote against him. And so that's got to be taken into consideration, and I hope his people realize that at this stage. Secondly, you have a superb possible president in Ron DeSantis. The guy is smart. I don't have to go through it. We all know what we have as a governor. He'd make a fantastic president. And there's several others that are out there that are very good. I won't go who I believe should do it, but I don't think that Ron DeSantis is going to come down to the level of fighting Donald Trump. Donald Trump will go after him like he did with the dissanctimonious in his last comments. But I don't think that I don't think our governor is going to steep to that level and stoop to that level.
Do you think that DeSantis will run in the primary?
No, I don't think so. He won't take on Trump.
Oh, that's good. It's interesting.
I don't think so.
He just surrounded his term.
Yeah, he's a young guy. I mean, why wouldn't he just wait for Trump to do what Trump's going to do? It may be 4 to 6 years, we'll know, and then he'll run then. He's not going to fight Trump.
All right. It's always a pleasure to have you with us, Devil. Thank you so very much. Let's keep our fingers crossed on the border and what's to become of it.
Yeah, that's a big thing.
Well, I know we'll
get out of there.
I know we'll talk again down the road. I'm sorry?
We will, Paul. Thanks very much for the invitation. And we'll look forward to hearing from you. Welcome back.
Thank you very much, Neville. Always a pleasure talking with you.
You bet. Take care.
All right.
And I got to agree with Neville on that. I don't think DeSantis runs.
Mm-hmm.
Because he would have to announce that within the next year.
Yeah.
Because of, you know, 2024 is 2 years away.
Mm-hmm.
So we just put you in office, and now you're reelected you back into office, and you're going to turn around in a year.
I think he could wait for more than a year before he announced, but I know what you mean. It's now taking at least a full year before the election to tell everybody that you're running, which would mean November of, to say, the latest he could wait would be late 2023, then announce.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't know. He's keeping his powder dry, as they say. All right, going to take our break. When we come back, among other things, Republicans, okay, they're feeling a little down right now about the election Tuesday, but not their governors. All the top conservatives easily reelected, and we're going to take a look.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
Do you have questions about navigating the confusing world of health insurance? Then just ask Angela. That's right, just ask Angela. Every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Angela will discuss topics such as individual, family, and group health insurance plans, life insurance, original Medicare, supplemental plans, and much, much more. Just ask Angela every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. and visit our website, justaskangela.com.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
And we are back on a Monday. Thank you so very much for being with us. We are so glad to be back here in the studio. Well, I guess there's a lot of tears on the Republican side because we didn't hit a home run. We may end up having hit a double, though. We have to find out what happens in the House. Why is it taking so long? Very, very frustrating. But all the country's top conservative governors, they were easily reelected. And let's go down the list of some of these conservative governors across the country. Ron DeSantis of Florida, Kristi Noem of South Dakota, Jared Polis of Colorado, Brad Little of Idaho, Bill Lee of Tennessee, Chris Sununu up in New Hampshire, Brian Kemp of Georgia, Greg Abbott of Texas. I don't know why Beto O'Rourke even... That was an absolute stomping out there in Texas.
You mean
Texas.
Worse than Charlie Crist?
Yeah.
Oh.
I believe so. I'll have to take a look.
Charlie lost by almost 20 points.
Yeah, I was really... I was just berserk with sadness when I heard that Charlie lost, you know.
Did you see
him take his fan and leave? That's too bad. No,
Well, they were waiting on the counting, finished counting, and nothing had been declared yet. The media was at DeSantis's party vote, voting party, waiting for, you know, the results. And then it was at... Charlie Crist is, and the reporter there, I don't know what network it was, said, we're here, and the rather small crowd going on right now. In fact, there's more media people here than supporters right now.
Very sad.
Oh, and then at the end, when he did, you know, when he conceded, I guess the woman that he's getting ready to marry had to grab the mic. And first thing she said is, I never do this, which is, you know, the kiss of death right there. I don't like to talk on the microphone, but I have to say that this man stood up to a bully. I mean, come on.
So is he still prepared to marry that woman, do you think?
I guess so.
Okay.
I mean, but to say he stood up, it's not like he smacked him and took his lunch money, you know?
Yeah. So DeSantis won by about 20 points. It was over before it started anyway for Charlie Crist. And Florida, of course, everybody is talking about Florida turning deep red now from its purplish kind of.
Yeah.
And we've got many, many hundreds of thousands more Republicans registered now in this this state.
Mm-hmm.
So everything is, as far as Republicans are going, everything is coming up red roses.
Right.
You know? I wonder what old Charlie's going to do now that he's lost this election. He can't go back and be the congressman because he had to give that up to
run.
Do you know,
I looked it up. Do you know, other than his term in the Florida House, other than that, he has never been reelected any job.
Never. No, he ran for senator. Now he's run again for governor.
Switched parties.
He switched party. He was
ran again. Switched parties.
Yeah. I guess he'll go back home and he'll say, okay, what do I really want to be now?
He'll go to that law firm and, you know, he'll surface again. Come on.
That's right.
He'll surface again somewhere.
So we got all of these conservative governors that were reelected. And all of the states that I just mentioned are doing quite well, actually, you know, starting with Florida. So why wouldn't they be reelected, right? And I think it tends to show that when you've got a no-nonsense kind of a conservative that runs your state, you can get things done. And people actually like it. They want somebody that's in control. DeSantis is the perfect example. DeSantis is I was reading the Tampa Bay Times when I got back over the weekend here, and of course they're trying to talk about how much of a bully, you know, Ron DeSantis is, and what he's going to stomp on these so-called gay rights and people that, you know, had kept their kids out of school, you know, all of that kind of thing, making him come off like a bully. He was not a bully. What he was saying was, I want the people of Florida to be able to decide what they want to do. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to force some sort of a regulation down their throats, you know. So we'll see where all of that goes. But there was a report conducted by Art Laffer, the Laffer Curve. He's an economist. He was a Reaganite, Ronald Reagan. I think he was in his administration. And he came out with a report, along with the Heritage Foundation, ranking all 50 governors on their economic, fiscal, and executive policy. 10 governors earned a 5-star ranking from them, and 8 of them were facing re-election. All of the conservative governors on that list easily won. And in the ranking, let's see, Kristi Noem was ranked number one, as in she is the best in economic, fiscal, and executive policy. Ron DeSantis came in third. Who is this other one? Bill Little. Can't find where his first name is. Well, anyway, there was one named Little that came in fifth. And then we had Bill Lee of Tennessee came in sixth. Sununu, seventh. Kemp of Georgia came in ninth. Or no, Kemp, not in Georgia. But Kemp came in ninth. He's in Georgia. And then Greg Abbott of Texas came in 10th. Okay, so there you go. The only governor ranked in the top 10 as far as fiscal and economic policy that was not a Republican was the governor of Colorado, Polis, who checked in at number 4 in the rankings. Now, Polis was also able to easily coast to re-election. Polis won by a margin of 18%, but Polis was acting like a conservative. So there you go. Very interesting. Now, what is to become of your favorite woman in the House, Ed, if the Republicans take control of Congress? Nancy Pelosi. We have to worry about Nancy Pelosi. So, over the weekend, she was asked about, she was appearing on one of those Sunday talk shows, and she was asked about what she was going to do if, indeed, the Democrats don't hold the House. She said her congressional colleagues are encouraging her to run for another term as the Democratic leader. Supposedly, this is the starkest indication yet that she's mulling another run. But I would be willing to bet if one the count comes out, and if indeed the Republicans do take over the House, I'm not sure she's going to hang on.
I don't either. I really don't.
Yeah.
I mean, shouldn't she be spending time with her husband after he got out of the hospital?
Yeah.
And, you know, that kind of died down, didn't it?
It did a little bit. Actually, here's what she had to say about it. Pelosi agreed, because she was asked about this also yesterday on the talk show, that she agreed with the question about Republicans. She said, yes, Republicans are disgraceful in the reaction to the attack on her husband, Paul Pelosi. Now, is this to assume that Republicans were dancing with joy when Paul Pelosi got whacked with a hammer? And did you hear anybody, Ed, that was dancing with joy on the Republican side?
I don't know of anybody. They all said it was despicable, whoever did it.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything.
Definitely
against
it.
There might have been a couple that went off the reservation, but for the most part, they said it was horrible.
Meanwhile, in the January 6th tapes that they released, the secret videos of, wasn't there one of her saying she wanted to bash Donald Trump in the face?
Yes.
Isn't that kind of violent?
Yeah, it was kind of violent. I mean, she was upset with what was going on.
She said, I'll punch him in the face. I'll go to jail.
Punch him in the face. Yeah.
I'll go to jail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she did say something like that. Well, here's what they asked her regarding the hammer attack. Madam Speaker, you alluded to this when I asked about your husband. But I want to ask specifically, kind of point blank, about the fact that there's been such extremism, such political violence, and what happened to your husband was horrific. Do you think that that had an impact on voters as they cast their ballots? See, the question already assumes that somehow Republicans had something to do with the nutbag that went over to the House and hit him on the head.
Well, I knew it was going to turn that way when they said, well, we don't have much to release, but, oh, we're going to release it. He walked in and said, where's Nancy? Which is exactly what was said at the January 6th problem out there.
Yeah, so they were trying to link the two.
Right, exactly.
Well, here's what Nancy responded. I know what people tell me. That's anecdotal. And we always say the plural of anecdote is not data necessarily. Now, what the heck does that mean? But she says, but it is a trend in what I'm hearing. But it wasn't just the attack. It was the Republican reaction to it, which was disgraceful. And that, I think, really, the attack is horrible. So, I don't know. She's stumbling around trying to answer it. But they're trying desperately to connect it. This guy that came across the Canadian border, and apparently it was a homeless person, he doesn't even know what he thinks. So why are they trying to connect this guy in any way to Republicans? That is really a joke. It really is. All right. Let us take our final break. And when we come back, Donald Trump is expected to announce for president tomorrow again. So we're going to talk about that. Is it a help or is it a hindrance?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works on a Monday. Thank you so very much for being with us. By the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tantalk Radio Network, and proud to be here. However, you might be doing something between 10 and 11 on those days, so fear not. Thanks to Big Ed, all our programs are on podcast, tape. I shouldn't say they're all on podcast, should I, Ed? Because that doesn't mean necessarily that they are on tape. And podcast
is good. That's the hip way of saying tape.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? I got to be hip. You know I'm hip. Anyway, so go to our website. It's a hip website, OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button at the top. Ed's got all our shows up there. You'll see the most recent show at the top of the list. You'll see who the guest is. You'll see the top 10. All you do is click on it. Away you go. You can pause the thing. You can go to the bathroom and come back. Turn it back on. Hear our pearls of wisdom here on Freedom Works. Our Freedom Works.
You know, I had a friend who's kind of younger, and was something came up, and I made the analogy. I said, "Is it Live or Memorex?" Remember that?
Oh yes, I do.
And she said, "What? What's Memorex?"
Yes. Anybody under 45 doesn't know what Memorex is. It's just amazing, isn't it? The things that have changed. It really have. Anyway. Before we get to our question about Donald Trump, I've got to tell you this, Ed, you'll get a kick. Gettysburg College has postponed a painting and writing event hosted by its Gender, Sexuality, and Resource Center for people who are, quote, tired of white cis men. Tired of white cis men. The private Pennsylvania college offered the event as part of a Peace and Justice senior project. But since then, they have postponed it after it was shared online. The event originally was set for November 12th, that was this last Saturday, where people were told to come paint and write about how they are tired of straight white men. The pieces from the event would then be displayed in the school's dining hall for the campus to view. I'm so sorry that they broke that was stopped. It would have been a wonderful event. Don't you agree? I mean, just having all those people tired. They're tired of white cis men. You and I are white cis men, apparently, right?
I have been working on my tan, so maybe I could pass as a
brown cis man?
A person of light color? I don't know.
Hey, one other thing I got to talk to you real quick about. An instructional assistant at a Florida high school has complained about her co-worker's parking space. It has a quote on the parking space where she parks. And this woman says it offends her as a Jewish person. Basically, the quote on the parking space, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." And that's it. And apparently because she's Jewish, this is bothering her. Now, she doesn't share the parking space with this woman. She goes by it and parks in her own spot. But she says, "I feel like it's attacking me as a Jew." The company where they both work told her to get over it. So I thought
well, that
I'd
should
share
be
that
done.
With you.
Why should one person change something like that?
Of course. That's what
like the statues, you know?
Yeah.
You another statue coming down, somebody wrote an email.
If that's going to upset you, then a lot of other things are going to really upset you.
Yeah.
All right. Even with the House tally not yet completed, all kinds of people are asking if Donald Trump helped or hurt the election last Tuesday. Trump will likely announce a third run for president tomorrow. But listen to people, entities like the Wall Street Journal, with their editorial board. This is a conservative newspaper. They said, "What will Democrats do when Donald Trump is not around to lose elections? We have to wonder, because on Tuesday, meaning last Tuesday, Democrats succeeded again in making the former president a central campaign issue, and Mr. Trump helped them do it." They dubbed Trump in the editorial the biggest loser of the election. So it brings to mind whether or not Donald Trump would be a hindrance or a help. Does he not see that half the country will immediately not vote for him? That's about 50% of the people will not vote for him for whatever reason. They're Democrats, they're independents that don't like him, and maybe there's a handful of Republicans that don't like him. And it comes close to 50%. Now, he ran against Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton, a mouse could have run against Hillary Clinton and won. Hillary Clinton was even more dislikable than he was. So the question remains, is his ego going to allow him to announce that he's running for president? And will that, in effect, knock down the chances of the Republicans winning back the White House?
It'd be scary who they put in there, if anybody could win.
You mean the Republicans other than Trump?
No. I mean the Democrats.
The Democrats.
Yeah, if they feel that half the country is already not going to vote and some Republicans are not going to vote for him, that they may be able to have a shoe in, whoever will look Joe Biden good in.
I don't think Biden will. What about that governor? Newsom,
I don't think
California. I think he's the
good
one.
God.
You don't think so?
Oh, I think so. He's probably up there somewhere.
Yeah.
Or Buttigieg or whatever his name is.
Yeah, I think Newsom has got a bigger gravitas deal than Buttigieg. And Democrats would gravitate towards Newsom.
Can you imagine him
as
president?
If Newsom ran against Trump, who do you think would win?
What's that?
If Newsom on the Democratic side ran against Donald Trump, who do you think would win?
Well, it goes back to, once again, professional liars. And I think he's probably at the top of the list when you come to Newsom. I mean, can you imagine him as the president? Okay, people, let's not charge our electric cars between 4 and 8 p.m.
It would be an interesting race, if sure would. Okay, Ed, it is time. Do we have any sports news that we need to talk about, or shall we go right to
it? Bucks in Germany won. That was great.
That's right. They played around 9:30 this Sunday morning or something.
Lightning were on a little bit of a run, then they lost, and then they won again. So.
Oh, they did? Okay. Yeah. Great. All right. Time for our top 10. This is from Forbes magazine. They have a quality rank and a safety rank, and they ranked all 50 states plus the District of Columbia for the states with the best public schools. Here we go. Number 10, Colorado. Indeed, quality rank 14, safety rank 8. Number 9, the Dairy State, Wisconsin, is number 9 with a 9 rank in quality and a 26 in safety. Number 8, Maryland, 10 on the quality rank and 20 on the safety rank. Number 7, up to Minnesota. I wonder if it's snowing yet there.
Yes.
Quality 6, safety 27. Number 6, Virginia. Quality 7, safety is 2nd. Wow. Number 5, staying up in the Northeast, Vermont, with the maple syrup, etc. I wonder if it's snowing in Vermont.
Hmm.
Oh, you don't know.
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Quality rank is 5, and safety rank is 4. Number 4. Right next door, New Hampshire. You know, they always do a good job up in New England of educating, at least up until recently. Yeah. New Hampshire is 4 on quality and 7 on safety. Number 3. Right next to New Hampshire is Connecticut. They are 2nd in quality and 11th in safety. Number 2. New Jersey, it's 3 into quality and it's 9 into safety rank. Okay. Okay. Here we are, Ed. Do you want to take any kind of a guess?
I don't know. Did we say Maine? Maine?
That's a good guess. It's close to Maine. Mm. And it starts with an M-A.
Massachusetts.
Yeah. Mm. It's Massachusetts. They are number 1 in quality and number 1 in safety. So they clearly are the best place to go.
The Northeast is looking pretty good if you want to.
Yeah, it's looking very good, actually. Only Wisconsin and Colorado technically were outside of the Northeast in the top 10. So there you go. All right. Hey, we had a great time coming. We're glad to be back. We will be back live on Wednesday. In the meantime, thank you for listening. And always remember, freedom works.
I hear the drums echoing tonight. She hears only whispers of some quiet conversation. She's coming in 12:30 flight. The moonlit wings reflect the stars that guide me toward
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR